Into the Vertical Blank, Overscan, Retro News, and Atari 8-Bit Sierra Action Game Tier List coming up next.
Welcome to the boardroom.
Welcome to the boardroom, Steve.
Yep. I think it's stuck. I think the name stick is stuck.
Okay. And this is the weekly overscan for six, right?
Well, it's six. Well, it's 6-6 right now, which means that.
Oh, for next week. Okay, it's 6-6, but we're doing this gets done next week. So I don't know, like June 10th or something like that?
I mean, probably 7 days from yesterday, which was the 5th. So that would be the 12th?
Okay, the 12th.
Something like that.
But I mean the week of the 10th.
Sure, yeah, the week of the 10th.
Okay. Okay, welcome to the boardroom. News, mostly Atari.
Yes, mostly Atari. All right.
All right. So, Steve, you picked up this news. What do you want to talk about it first?
Yes. Yes, I got this. This is directly from it. This is a screen grab from the Gen X Grown Up video, YouTube video. So
the hardest working
Atari. Yeah, he loves Atari.
Along with Brian, BCB, but they're both like the hardest working Atari video YouTubers, basically.
Yeah. No. John loves Atari, though. I asked him, he's just grew up with the Atari stuff. It's not just a fake thing. He really grew up with Atari, so it's cool.
He's an Atari guy.
Atari guy, which is cool. I love it. Anyway, this is a screen grab where he found the dates for the Atari 7800 products and where they'll be shipping. So these are the new ones, the re-release, the Ninja Golf, a Food Fight, and Fatal Run, plus the controller, the gamepad controller.
Yes.
These are the new dates. So it looks like Australia.
Can't wait.
Because I think Play On is in Australia, right? So, it looks like they're all coming out in June. This is just a month later than they said, but this is good news.
It's great news.
I can't wait. But I kept going and looking. The only one problem is like Atari didn't. I think I bought these, but I can't find the receipts in my email. So, you go to try to log in to see your order, it asks for your order ID and your email address. But when I put those in, it doesn't do anything. It says it doesn't exist.
Great.
I'm like, fantastic. So I have no idea.
This could be another Mr. Run and Jump special edition.
I feel like buying these directly from Amazon in the future is just what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it's probably a better idea.
Ooh. Okay, so this is another one. So I noticed this, Atari had put this Atari Soft ad up on their Atari Facebook group. It might have even been on Twitter, too. But this is the social media guy on May 22nd put this up. And, Atari Soft is very interesting. I think we know people who are fans of Atari Soft in particular. But Atari Soft is the company that Atari created at the either end of 1983 or beginning of 1984, or they announced themselves to make games for other platforms besides Atari platforms, and they were responsible for dozens of games. A lot of people collect these because they think they're cool. But the fact that Atari had this Atari Soft ad, I think was, I was hoping that maybe it meant they would approach their licenses now, either the games they license for other people or the licenses they made for other platforms. And, when you put out a version of Centipede, you could actually put out the one for every platform. It's not just the 2600 version, right?
You know what's right here? Right up here is a link to the ColecoVision versus Atari 8-bit 5200 and 2600 video I did for the ColecoVision Atari Soft. I know that's not in this
but
ad.
It will be.
But
but it's cool. So I was thinking, I was hoping that, it's neat that Atari is delving into these old things, even if this is, someone, this could be Albert from Atari Age for all we know, doing some of this because he's the historian. But whatever, it's neat that they're connecting to some of these old things that we've been talking about for a long time but haven't seen much of. So
yes.
That's it. That's all this
news was. Yeah, this is really cool. Yeah, this is really cool. Okay, next news item.
Audacity is back. Jeff, there is a
Audacity is back.
There is a new game from Audacity programmed by John Van Risen, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the creator of Hero, called Alien Abduction. So it's going on sale on Audacity's website on June 15th. Another game for the Atari 2600. Very excited because Audacity's games are amazing. Well, their one game is amazing.
Well, I can't wait because Hero is basically one of my favorite Atari 2600 and Atari 8-bit games.
I know. It's going to be awesome. So this is cool. This is, you know, we've been waiting for the, I think, Casey's Gold for a long time. But this is the second game that's going to come out after Circus Convoy. But we Audacity, I love Audacity because they're kind of this out there, you know, they're total pro games. And they're outside of Atari, and they kind of do their own thing. It's very interesting. So this should be really cool, and it looks really good.
Did they have any? They have no pricing on this.
No pricing. My guess is it's got the same tiers as last time, where there's like a $60 regular version and a collector's version as well.
Got it.
I think it's going to sell way better this time. I think the whole market for this type of thing has increased. In the past couple years.
About a year ago, MockDuck Plays Games on YouTube previewed the VCS version and wished that there'd be a cartridge version. Let's hope it works on the 2600 Plus. It probably should work.
Oh, yeah. It should work on the 2600 Plus. Hopefully it does. So, and maybe with that new firmware update. Oh, so...
Fixing Activision cartridge labels from the Silicon Underground,
so this
dude.
Is just a quick note that that Dave over at Silicon Underground had a story this week about a multi-step process for fixing your Atari 2600 labels for Activision cartridges. And that's it. I just want to point that out as kind of some cool little update he did this week. So that's it.
And Dave's site is awesome. AtariAge.com. Okay, new experimental Atari 2600 Plus update. You can finally play Pitfall 2. So there's the forum post about the update, the 2600 Plus patch, is the same forum post that's been there. I'm going to put a link here, links up here. So it's all in here. You can play different games. New games are being fixed. All the details are in this thread, but anyone who has the capacity to... to do the update themselves and wants to do it and check it out, you get almost 99.999% of games working properly.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, I find myself now, I used to, almost 5 or 6 years ago, I took all my Atari 2600 loose carts and I put them in a box and I was never going to look at them again. I decided I only wanted, if I was going to have any 2600 games, they're going to be CIB only just for get the full effect. In somewhere in that process, I lost a whole bunch of them too. I don't know where they are.
Oh no.
But since the 2600 Plus came out and I've been testing games on it, I find myself down at all the local retro stores finding the non-common stuff. That's all the time.
Awesome.
Just yesterday I got a copy of Time Pilot for the 2600. Just
That's
pretty good.
That's a great game. It's like I would say Time Pilot is a little like single player combat jets on steroids.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm saying like the fact that they're getting the 2600 Plus the ability to play some of these other games is great because
I wanted to mention that Biatari and Revenge are helping now with all of this. That is getting this to work. That the guy, you know, so that the people that are behind the best way to make games, you know, easily on the 2600 and the 7800 are behind it. So a lot of the homebrews are going to be working.
That's fantastic. That's great news. That's awesome news.
Next up. Coleco Tarzan for the Atari 2600 ROM was found. And Kevin Bunch has a great article about this. And the link is here on gamehistory.org. And Errata Non Grata had a great YouTube video about it.
Yeah, I just watched that like 10 minutes ago.
I will insert a little bit of video here in the links for those also. It looks like a neat game too, by the way.
No, so I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is so it's really well done. It would have probably been one of the best Atari 2600 games if it came out. It looks like a combination of Mr. Postman and Bobby's Going Home for how elaborate it is.
For how elaborate it is, right?
Yeah, it's very elaborate. It's really cool. I think, again, I would have been disappointed back in the day because I was disappointed about all Atari 2600 games at a certain point, you know, like 1983 or 1984. But looking back now with my eyes, I'm like, wow, this would have been amazing if it came
So
out at the
I'm
time.
going to say something a little controversial here because it goes against what most people think, but some of these games are showing that if the 2600, maybe if the same developers had started moved to the 7800 and to the ColecoVision, you would have had Americans making games as elaborate and as good as NES games, but they were stopped.
Sure. No, I 100% agree with you that there would have been you easily would have had
Right.
a fine amount of competition, you know,
Right.
competitive games, but they were all kind of yeah. I mean, there was like a 2 year gap, and then a lot of the when the companies wanted to start making games for the NES, Nintendo was like, "Why do you want to make your own games? You can license these thousands of games that are already in Japan," and translate them. So it was even hard when people wanted to start making games even to get started because there was such a
Right.
flood of other games. I think it probably set back American video game development probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years to the point where people had to start catching up again. But if the companies had just continued building on top of what they knew, same people, you know, learning the skills, building on top of the last guy, you know, using the code bases that already existed, using the knowledge, you know, yes, there would have been amazing games that would just continue being built.
And I don't want to disregard here the fact that most of the best game developers, if they continued doing it, moved to the Commodore 64, kept doing Apple and some IBM games. So that's where the C64 got a lot of good games. But the problem was they were on a computer platform. They weren't on
Well,
a.
someone to the Amiga too, and the ST
And
as well,
of
right?
course, of
But the
course. But I
idea is
mean,
they did, just like the industry was like, all kids are going to move to computers. It's like it wasn't just kids that moved to computers, like the developers moved there too.
Yeah, and this was the install base wasn't there, plus
Yeah,
piracy.
the problem, well, the install base was there for the Commodore 64, but that's because of Christmas 1983, and I think some of Christmas 1984, there was a lot, right? The install base was big. The install base for the Commodore was big enough so that piracy did not affect it the way it did with Atari 100.
But it still was not as big as any,
Sure, it
unfortunately,
wasn't as
not
big at all.
selling
It's
as many
just,
cars as NES.
that's
I
kind of
understand what you're
where
saying.
that's kind of
Enough
where
to
people went.
support lots of mall stores full of C64 software.
Sure, yeah, for a while anyway.
For a while anyway. So that was, I just meant that's where the brain drain went, you
Yeah,
know.
the brain drain went there, or people just quit and then went to something else.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so next up, Book Club, Cyberpunk, Outlaws and Hackers on the Computer Frontier by Katie Hafner with John Markoff. I think it says and, but he really did some of it. John Markoff did create other books after this, Steve. This is where he sort of pinned Kevin Mitnick as this
Right.
evil hacker in his writings when he really wasn't. That's what's
That
wrong
was
with John Markoff.
so Markov did kind of go. I remember there was one about someone chasing Mitnick around in
Yes,
a Jeep or
yes.
something, and it just read
John
ridiculous,
Markoff's
but
great reporter, but he needed a way to get 90s people to read the newspapers,
okay,
and
so let's talk about this book because we didn't say anything about it yet.
this is a great book. This is the first three stories we ever read about computer hackers, not the hackers we had learned about in Hackers, but like crackers and stealers and worm makers and breaking into systems guys, and it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, this is really good. This is probably, you know, again, this is before there weren't books being written about video games at the time. There weren't even
No.
books being written about computer history. This is really one of the first books that sort of had any sort of, I'd say, I don't know how to describe it, but like fandom is not the right word because you're not really a fandom of the
No, you're
hackers,
not a fan of these
but
people.
it was more like, you know, this is what the what people were doing with computers, even if at the time it was criminal
Right.
or somewhat. It was interesting to see what people were doing because at the time we were computer enthusiasts. Like that's coming out of the
Right.
80s,
Right.
you didn't know where things we didn't the internet
Enthusiast.
did not exist. I hate saying the internet did not exist, but the internet existed, but the web didn't exist. And
Right.
nobody knew where things were going. And so trying to find anything that where people were excited about the prospect of what computers could be, even if it was, you know, somewhat exploring the internet as a quote unquote hacker seemed like a fun and interesting thing. And it wasn't necessarily games, but it was that sort of era of exploration that was fascinating and interesting, just like Stephen Levy had written about in his book. But this was more pointed, like, this is what people do to do nefarious stuff. I didn't want to do nefarious stuff, but I was interested in what people did do.
Like, just the topic of it. So Pango is the same story from The Cuckoo's Egg from the other side.
So the RTM story is really interesting with Robert Tappan Morris and his worm. And I would say, and the interesting thing about Kevin Mitnick and his crew, that when we read that, they were operating out of Los Angeles at the time.
Yeah, and friend of ours was the girlfriend of one of the people in the story.
Right.
And a family friend.
One thing I remember, that we had sold some Atari stuff, and when I read the descriptions of these people, they really sounded like the same guys that came over to our house to buy some of our Atari stuff. It might not have been, but it was interesting to read the description and go, wait a minute, that sounds incredibly familiar.
To us, it sounded like the same people.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, great book.
Our small world, anyway. At the time, we had no idea.
And both John Markoff and Katie Hafner have written other books, and their libraries are pretty big. Oh, you have one in here.
I do have one. The next one, yes. So this is a great book, Where Wizards Stay Up Late: The Origins of the Internet by Katie Hafner and Matthew Leon. This is about the creation of ARPANET and focuses on JCR Licklider. I would read this book second after reading Hackers. I would read this because this is the Stephen Levy book, and then read this one. There's a lot of really interesting stuff about how ARPANET was created. Really well written, really interesting story, and not really that popular of a book. I know it came. I think I read this about 10 years ago.
I started listening to these on Audible. So Hackers is on Audible. I think this one is too, and I have like 4 credits. So I'm going to get this one too if I can, because these books are really good. It's like listening to an incredible podcast, obviously. Because it has all the information you want to hear. It's really good.
I mean, I would say you're right about that. All of these books that we've looked at so far all would have probably not been written as books if podcasts existed at the time. They probably would have been written as audio stories
or YouTube.
Documentaries. They're written like that. That may be why I like them. I think you just made a really good point. They're sort of in that style.
Right. So really good stuff though. Okay. PC DOS game CD-ROM of the week. This is new.
I threw this in.
Perfect,
I thought maybe
Steve.
We could do something a little bit new.
Why not? Anytime. Anything you want to do.
Except when you see the game I chose this
No,
week.
I don't care. Let's see the game.
Okay, the game I
Phantasmagoria!
Chose Phantasmagoria from Sierra, which is well regarded as one of the worst games ever made. It is a full motion video game, and I played it a few weeks ago. I remembered I bought like almost the entire Sierra collection like 10 years ago on Steam. And I'm like, wait, I think I want to try one of these, right? I didn't really know what it was. So this is Sierra's first, or one of their first, but I think it's the first one they released, their first FMV game. And it's an FMV adventure game where it comes up and shows this postage stamp video of, and by the way, it came on like a CD-ROM, so it's not like they didn't have space, but postage stamp video of what's going on. And then you've got this environment that's somewhat photorealistic, but like the standards weren't as exacting at the time. So lots of times you'll see like stuff is not really cut out correctly. And they did the best they could. Okay. Especially I think probably because our modern monitors aren't anti-aliasing the graphics, the way they appeared on a CRT back then, but our CRT monitor. But here's the thing. This game is awful, but also fantastic. Because at the time I would have never played it, because at the time CD-ROM drives were, I think, as you weren't too slow. It would have been a pain in the butt to get going. It would have been really boring just to get going and trying to click around and stuff. But now all that has gone away. You can just sort of, you can load the game up really quick and start playing it, and it's really like a hidden object game. You just kind of wave your mouse around the screen until you find the one pixel that has the thing that you need. But like it is this, it's extremely strange adventure. I want to show you a little bit of video of it, because one of the really funny things about it is that there's a woman who plays the main character, and it takes place over several days. But of course, they have her wearing the same outfit the whole time,
Right.
which like totally takes, you're like, wait a minute, she wouldn't be wearing that orange thing the whole time. And then you're like, I guess she would, because they thought of her as a character in a game, but a full motion video game has like different sensibilities, right? Where you're actually talking about actors in wardrobe and stuff like that, which they didn't really consider. So I think that I'll show some video, it's only $6 on Steam. It's not good, and you can get a walkthrough. You actually watch a video walkthrough on YouTube, but it is fascinating to be able to play it now without the technology barriers in the way, to see what they were trying to achieve. And it's kind of a fun little thing. It's supposed to be scary, but it's literally not scary at all. It's
Well, it's not scary at all.
unscary, they should call it, 'cause it's not scary at all. But anyway, this
I
is my choice of
had
DOS game of the week.
this is great. I love it. I love this is a good insert. I have so many DOS disks that I could bring out, or Windows disks, so we could do it. But one thing about this, I think I have or had a copy of this guide for sale in my eBay shop. And I think it sold. I think I had it for $15 and kept moving it down. I think I finally sold it for $3.
Well, it's
Anyway,
because you don't
anyway.
need it. Honestly, there's a YouTube video that just steps through the entire thing, right?
Right,
So
right. I think some people, if there was a fan of this, maybe they wanted it as a keepsake.
that'd be cool.
Okay. Excitement of the week. Evercade Alpha looks
So
fantastic.
another one. So I saw a lot of YouTube videos that were complaining about this, but on the surface,
I want to say, I want this for Christmas.
I know, me too.
If
Me too. Because here's what I want. I want something that lets me stand alone play my Evercade games,
Yep,
my
me
Evercade
too.
cartridges that I've invested in. In fact, after I saw this, I went and bought the two Commodore 64 collections that I don't
I have
have.
those.
So there's three of them now, and I have all three. And I got them because there's a lot of Atari 100S games on
Yeah,
those, so that's why I
basically.
got it. But the Evercade Alpha is a standalone system with the screen. I mean, the best way I can describe it is like a bar top, but really kind of like the Vectrex, if you know what kind of like that size, except the screen is not vertical, it's horizontal. But it has a controller and about what like nine buttons on it, and it can hold two cartridges, and it's got its own screen. And it each there's two different versions. Both come with six different games. One is the Mega Man collection, and one is the Street Fighter collection. The Street Fighter one has a bunch of Street Fighter games, which I'm not interested in. But the Mega Man one actually has some games that I would probably be interested in playing. Like I think Final Fight is on there, which is hilarious, which is a great little beat 'em up game. So I do want one of these just like you. I saw people complaining about it online. I don't care. I like the idea of having a thing that I can stand alone somewhere in my house to play my
Right.
Evercade cartridges.
Well, one, Mega Man is one of the greatest games ever made. But the one thing I think about Street Fighter as a problem here is that I always thought of Street Fighter as a two-player game.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. It is one player. You can connect two other controllers by US by Bluetooth, I believe.
Got it, got
Bluetooth or
it.
USB, there's USB ports. I'm going to say USB, but I thought
Right,
someone said
okay.
Bluetooth as well. So
I know
you
it's
can
not
play that way.
100% two player. I know that a lot of single player, this is great, but I know that battling it would be a fun thing in this. So
Yeah.
anyway,
And apparently, there's also another version being released with upgraded controls. I can't.
yeah,
Maybe I can find it.
it needs a spinner. It needs some sort of a spinner or something on it. But
Yeah,
that's
no,
okay,
that's
because the
right. It's
Atari
just an
games.
updated joystick and buttons. It's not a spinner. But I
That's
agree with
okay.
you. The Atari ones are going to be hard to play. It'd be great if it did, but you know what? It's not a. It's. I don't see it as something to play arcade games really. It's
I
just
could
something to
do
play
that.
console games.
I could do
Yeah,
it
you can
on
do it
that
like that.
anyway.
There's lots of
Yeah.
ways to do that. I think this is one to
Right.
say all those Evercade carts that are these really neat collections like Lynx games and Amiga games and
Perfect.
and
Perfect.
even the C64. Yeah, this is the thing that would be fun to play them on.
I
Now,
will
I
play
won't
the
be so
video game.
excited about it if it's some information comes out and says it's garbage, but I'm
But yeah.
interested right now.
So I think it sounds great. Yes, exactly. Okay, so
this is new.
Jeff's, let's open a package.
Jeff
let's
is going to open package. A package.
I forgot what was in this package. I think I tried not to look at it too much, but this is a game that came from Atari Age a long time ago, and I will try to put a video of playing this in here from this package. This is, I know what it is because I just looked at it, but I mean I looked at it through the thing. This is the get the shrink bubble wrap off this thing. This is Atari 2600 incredible game Space Rocks.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is an incredible version of Asteroids for the Atari 2600. And it's a homebrew, and I'm hoping it works on the 2600 Plus when I download the new. So I'm going to try to play this on the 2600 Plus with the new firmware and see if it works.
You so I don't want to make a separate video of that. Of,
I am. I'm just going to show. This is the remember a sighting opening of the week. Okay. So I'm not going
that's
to
awesome.
I'm not going to play it now. But I just want to show. That arrived. I don't know how many months ago, but I never opened it. So opening of the week. Okay.
Fantastic.
Next feedback.
This is another Silicon Underground feedback. So Silicon Underground, Dave over there did. We did a couple. Podcasts ago, we talked about should Atari own all of classic retro, and Dave didn't make a response post as much as he responded to the idea of it on his site. So Dave gets a second mention in this podcast. I really, again, it's not designed in any way. He I like his stuff. So I'll try next week not to put him in, but. So Dave likens Atari to another 20th century hobby, which I'm not going to reveal. But I liked his take and his analysis, and it was nice to see some feedback, not really exactly towards us, but feedback in another way.
So the debate of the week. It's not really a debate. I wanted to get some Atari 8-bit content in this time.
Well, I'm sure we're going to argue about this a little bit. So
we will argue. Oh, there'll be a debate. But I want to do a tier list on Sierra Atari 8-bit action games. A lot of people don't even know about these because Sierra is mostly known for their adventure games.
Right.
But early on, for the 8-bit computers, they made a lot of action games.
Right. And so, we talked about him last week. But one of the people that made a bunch of these games is Peter Oliphant, who we talked about last week. So this is a little bit of a salute to some of his games as well.
So let's take a look at the first one. The game is called Aquatron. Aquatron is a little bit like a Defender.
Oh, wow. I never remember playing this. You go in and out of water. You dive in and out of water. Oh, that's what the Aquatron probably means.
Yeah. Although, I'm not seeing anything to shoot yet. Oh, there it is.
There it is. You're trying to destroy all the bombers. That was just one bomber you needed to destroy in that.
Level one, just one bomber. Right? Exactly.
This is a good-looking game. I like it.
It is, and it's fun, too.
It's a little bit like Defender, but it's kind of got its own thing as well going on.
Yes.
So where would... Now, I don't have a lot to judge this on yet, but when you go back to the tier list, remind me on this tier list, what
I'll
is the
you,
top...
Yeah.
What is the top layer for? That's for, like, the best of the best?
Personally, I don't actually know what S is supposed to be, but I'm going to talk about S as what I think it is. So S is like the superior game, the super, like the best of
okay.
the best. And so obviously Aquatron to me, like I haven't played it that much, but playing it there, it is for when it came out about the 81 or 82, a very well-made action game that nobody talks about. I think that it needs more. I'm going to do a video where I go through all of these games in sort of in detail with, I find reviews and things like that. So this is the tier list only, but just our first impressions of this one. I think this is at least a B.
I was going to give it a B as well.
It's not like incredible, but it's a lot better than most games. And so let's put Aquatron.
A B.
A B. Talking about the
okay, next one. BC's Quest for Tires.
Okay, so BC's Quest for Tyr.
No,
So,
I've
I
played
did.
this before. I know what BC's Quest for Tyr is.
BC's Quest for Tyr is 1983, and this is very early side-scrolling game with very its own style of jumping, right? No one really knew how. This is all pre-Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
So it's got its own way of doing things. I like it, but it's hard. So, oops. Okay, a lot of cheap deaths, honestly. Okay, so you have to jump over these things. You don't have high jumping, and you control your jump in the air, which is pretty good.
Oh, you can control a jump there, which is cool. Kind of like Bobby's
Yes,
going
and then you
up.
kind of have to duck. It's got very the obviously the physics are just very binary, right? You're like either it's either or really, you know, you're not there's no real physics, so you're kind of you're either ducking or you're not.
It actually, now looking at it reminds me of Moon Patrol a lot.
That's exactly what it is. It's basically Sierra's version of Moon Patrol.
Except you don't
But
do
you
there
don't
is you
shoot.
never shoot though, right?
Yeah, you don't shoot. And it's.
So here's the thing. Let's go back to the tier. It's pioneering in a lot of ways, so I think that gives it some points. But it's also just f-ing annoying to play. So I feel like it's between a B and a C, maybe.
I'm going to say I think it's good, but I've never been a huge fan of it because of how there's not to me there's not a lot to it. It's almost like a reverse Jungle Hunt, but because there's so little to do, really you're just jumping and ducking.
Yeah.
And that's
It's
it.
neat. Well, I haven't
So
got to higher levels though, so I don't know if there's more stuff to it, but I think it doesn't it's annoying, and if it wasn't pioneering, it would probably be a D, but I think it gets a
I'm going
C.
to put it as a C. It's a C. Okay. The next one is, let's go over here,
Crossfire.
Crossfire. So let's play Crossfire 1983, Sydney Development. So Crossfire is, you basically have to, it's like a streets from above. Like you're supposed to be seeing like a, and you go around and you shoot these guys in along these blocks seen from above. There's not a huge amount to it, and I know there's a 1700 game that kind of uses that as base. I can't think of the name right now. And you and these when these four things come out, you need to pick them up. But that's really about it.
I remember it being a
And it's
fun
fun.
arcade game, but it was only a mild diversion for a little while. It's
Yes.
interesting.
Yeah, it's I mean, it definitely has its fun. It definitely has some fun to it.
Right. It's not bad.
No.
I would probably give this a C as well.
I'm going to agree with you that it's a good game. It's not bad. It's something that people should try to take a look at. And let's put Crossfire in as a C. Okay.
Okay, so now we've
So
got two
next up,
Froggers. One is John
so
Harris's
first
Frogger, and one's the
Frogger
other Frogger. Let's look at
is,
John Harris's
this
Frogger
is, let me
first.
see, I'm trying to figure out which is which. Okay, so there's an official version of John Harris, and then later on, I think they made, this is on disc, they made a cart version, and it's
Okay,
different, which is
let's.
so interesting. But let's check out the John Harris one first. This was from 1982.
Look at how colorful the sprites are.
Yeah. One of the only things I ever have a problem with in this Frogger at all is that your frog is only a single color. That's all. Like, other than that, it plays a beautiful version of
I
Frogger.
think historically there's historical significance for this game, and it's a really good version of Frogger. I has to go on the S line because of the
I
significance
think
of
it's a,
it, I
this is an
believe.
S I think it's an S tier game too. Okay, so here's a second version of Frogger, Which is interesting. I don't know all of the history. I know that, John Harris left, and then there's a guy who started making a really good programmer, started making some other games for Sierra. So this is the Chuck Benton version. It's very similar, but it's not the same game. He may have started with the same code base. I'm not 100% sure, but let's see. Okay, so it's got a whole different title screen. Oh, you
Probably a
just have
lot more
to.
options here, it looks like. I mean, it's fine, but there's something about this that I don't like as much as the other one, and I can't put my finger on it.
I'm pretty sure this one was never released.
I don't know if that means
So
anything.
what I see about this one is the movement is a little bit more sluggish, and the colors are off from
Yeah,
the arcade game. There's nothing wrong with it.
I would put it in
In
the
fact, if
B
it was the only.
category. I don't know. It's
Yeah.
it, it,
If it was the only version, it might be an A, but because we have the S tier
Yeah.
version, it gets a
All right,
B.
what's this golf game?
Okay, so this is. It doesn't fit into their adventure game, so I put their golf game in here. This is a game called Golf Challenge. Let me see if it's not coming up right. So, by Harold Schwab from 1982. It's sort of an overhead game, a little bit like the 2600 Golf, but I find that you can control it so much better. Like, you can actually hit the ball. Although, you'll see that you still have problems figuring out which is the hole and which isn't. Very rudimentary graphics here.
This is
Very
like,
rudimentary.
it does look
But it
like,
turns
I mean, I
out.
like the little walking animation, which is cute but weird.
Yes. But you can, let's see.
The thing
How do
about
I have it
golf
open?
games like this is, and it kind of like Atari 2600 bowling, the graphics
I'm gonna
don't
hit it the wrong
matter
way.
as much of the time as long as you could play an actual game of golf with it, or get the clubs right and the hitting right and
There. See, so you kind of can just move your. The cool thing is you can just kind of rotate the club and hit the ball the way you want to go. So it's
Are there any
not
other clubs
easy.
or
It's
just that one club you have?
this is all I know. This is all I know about. So
Yeah.
far I didn't find any information about it. It's an interesting diversion. It's kind of fun, but 100% it's in
I think
the.
it's in the D category
I think
myself.
it's a D. It's not the worst game ever made. It's kind of an interesting. It's like 2600 Golf, but with a slightly better
Yeah.
graphic.
Do we have to put something in E? Like, do we have to do that? Because.
No, you don't play anything
Okay.
anywhere. If they're all A, they're all A to me. Okay, so Jawbreaker. This is an interesting. Jawbreaker is very interesting. Again,
This is John Harris as well, right?
the yeah, and the, and we kind of got to read the book, the hacker's book, to find out exactly where John Harris begins and ends at Sierra. I
Right.
know there was a falling out and he left or something, because there's Jawbreaker, and I know that Jawbreaker, the original, was actually Atari sent them a cease and
Yeah, this
desist,
is
but the
this
game
is the
was
lawsuit
completed.
game.
There's a lawsuit game, and it's a very good version of Pac-Man. We'll take a look at it. And then we'll compare it to Jawbreaker 2. So luckily you can play it now. I don't know how long this was out. It has full packaging and everything. I don't know how
I
long
mean, we had
it was
this
in
on a pirate
storage.
disc.
This is it. Okay.
Yeah. The
So
music
this
is
is.
fantastic in this game.
Yes.
I thought it was color, though. This looks like it's the.
You know what? I haven't found a color
I think
version
there
of
is a
it. And
color
this is run.
version, but because I
Well,
remember
this
playing.
is
Oh, this
well.
is.
There's
Okay, there are
color.
colors here,
There's
though.
colors. There's players' colors, but this the just the it's high res, so you're not going to get colors because of the high
So
res maze.
imagine this is probably. This is on a disc we got the Atari 100 right when we got it the Christmas morning.
Yeah.
It's on a disc from Elwood. And this is the first version of Pac-Man. I remember seeing this in that catalog or in the store
Right.
and wanting this badly. And this is the first version of computer Pac-Man I have seen after the Atari 2600 version of Pac-Man that
Right,
I'm actually playing.
exactly.
And I just love all the little like details, like your teeth falling out and
Your
stuff like
teeth
that. It's
falling
just
out.
amazing.
There's no, absolutely no flicker. So we're like, we knew the Atari 8-bit was good, but we didn't know it was this good. This is pretty much if you know, he had softened the maze just a little bit, like without the hard edges, it would have been, this would have thought this was an arcade perfect Pac-Man. In fact, this, until they changed the graphics, this probably looks just like Pac-Man.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the maze is different, but you know, I'm not sure what happened in that court case with Atari, but that, I would give that game an A for sure.
Yeah.
Are you going to put it in S?
I'm giving Jawbreaker an S. Okay. To me, it was one of the, I know that it didn't, it's hard. It didn't, it's where the release was like, it was canceled or whatever. But to me, Jawbreaker shows early on, before people could really get the details about the Atari 8-bit, how to make an Atari 8-bit game.
Yeah.
Even though it's...
We saw Jawbreaker 2. I mean,
Jawbreaker 2 is
like the Atari 2600 version of Jawbreaker, where there's line... where you,
exactly.
It's only vertical lines. It's a fine
vertical lines
game, but I'd put it there in a C. Yeah, I don't think it's...
It's like a C.
I think it's just... Yes. It's a compromise.
It is very much a compromise. So, okay. So, Lunar Leaper.
What is this?
Is this like Apple Panic or something? But it is. So we're getting into what were almost not all everything, but we're getting into where games were ported from the Apple to the Atari 8-bit, and sometimes they took advantage of the Atari 8-bit, sometimes they didn't. Lunar Leaper is another sort of action game. It's a little bit like a game by Synapse called
Sneakers. No, that's serious.
No,
that's serious.
You see, because you're actually a fight. No, this is more of a. So,
well, Chuckles made a lot of games.
Or either he made them, or he made the title screens, or it's the guy who
pirated them.
I think it's the guy who actually finalized the production of them, or coded them, helped coded them. Because he came in after John Harrison. He was the new Atari superstar, I think. Choose call method, press start. Okay. So this is a game where you could tell it's a little Apple-like. Got Apple sounds.
Oh yeah.
You're going over here. You're shooting guys. Wait, you're going over here and you need to rescue guys.
It feels like this is that someone just ported the 6502 code for this.
Yeah. You're taking this guy and you're bringing him back to the other side of the screen and put him over here. Basically almost either this one or there's a I can't think of the name of this. There's a Synapse game that's just like this. I think it's Protector. So Protector is just like this, but this is pure Apple. Even
so
Apple 40
Apple
sounds.
Too.
Although it's fun. It's fun.
This is like when we'd say crap Apple II ports. Like people say crap.
This is a
ST
crap
ports.
Apple II port to the Atari 8-bit. Right, exactly. So this is I'm gonna get you. I like it. Okay,
it's
so
fun though.
Looks
neat,
wise,
but it's
so looks wise. It's a crap Apple II port to the Atari 8-bit.
Yeah.
Fun wise, it's pretty fun.
But they should have done a better job. I think that the idea that you would
completely
just redo Apple II games annoys me. I think it's
completely what's the guy who did Sierra. He didn't really have a lot of affinity for the Atari 8-bit. Or Atari in general.
You mean Ken Williams?
Apple really is platform.
Yeah.
Ken Williams. I think, you know, but it's not his fault. So they need to get games out to make money.
Well, I read Ken Williams' autobiography, and if you want to get any insight into games from that, you're not going to get it. He's mostly a business guy. So he likes games.
He's got his own hot tub, by the way. If you want to hear about hot tubs, don't talk about the Atari hot tub. The Ken Williams hot tub is where the action was.
But I mean,
okay.
His biography is good, and maybe it'll get on our list of books. But it's you're not going to get any insight into games much. It's really about the business, and it's interesting,
right.
But if you care about games, you're not going to find out what he liked or what he didn't like. Maybe some little details and stuff.
I'm going to give this one a D.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's fun, but really it doesn't take advantage of the Atari 8-bit. It like even the D games are kind of fun. It's just not a great game. Next one is Marauder. So we had this on the Atari 2600.
Yeah, the Tiger Vision version. Tiger Vision was the Atari 2600 arm of Sierra, or whatever they named their games that Sierra made for.
Yes.
Sierra made the games. I don't know exactly what the relationship was.
Marauder's very interesting. It's two games in one.
Right. How come I don't remember these games not having color?
You know what? But wait, no. It did have color. It's just here. You're talking about I mean, so the high res games, maybe they had some sort of artifacting on the color. If I can find it, I'll put it in. But this one, I don't know if it ever did. This is Marauder. And this is interesting because the Atari 2600 game of Marauder was the only one half of the game.
So, right. Where so you this kind of is right around the maze. Part where you kind of try to shoot through to get.
Yeah. So it basically is reverse. It's kind of reverse missile command. You are right. Not really missile, but you're attacking and they're trying to shoot you down. Yeah, after you get through, then, let me see if I can, then you go to stage two, which is,
Stage two is what the Atari 2600 game is.
Wait, hold on a second. Oh, okay. Yeah, but it's pretty interesting, because you run around this maze, it's not great looking. It's Apple II looking, but the interesting thing about this is it's line of sight for the enemies. So when you're hiding down here, you can't really see them until you come up. Now, sometimes you can, but they disappear because you can't really see them unless you're looking at them.
So there's a little more nuance to the graphics here than the Atari 2600 version. You can kind of see how the guys walk, and when they get shot, they fall over. But on the Atari 2600, everything looks like a triangle. And it's just a version of Berserk.
Yes.
And I was so mad at it. And this still does. I still feel my anger from when I spent $30 on
anger playing this one
for the 2600. It's still my least favorite game ever.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was the equivalent. We paid the equivalent of $100 now.
Still my least favorite game ever for the Atari 2600. If someone asks you what the worst game ever of 2600, it's that, because your worst game is not the worst game. It's the game that you feel the most betrayed by. That's my opinion.
Yes.
And to me, Marauder is the game.
I felt betrayed by it.
So fine. I mean, I'm great. I'm glad there's another level on the Atari 800. I probably still would have felt betrayed if I bought it on the Atari 800.
Okay, I'm going to make it a D then. I think that it would be...
That's
so
my opinion. Other people think it's better. I'm not there.
If it was just that... The thing about this is I'm going... Because I like the first level so much, I would put it at a
put
C.
Put it at a C.
But
go
it's
ahead.
Nowhere
it's,
near...
Okay, I'm going to give it an E. I think it's the worst of the worst. So...
Okay, so I think it's a C, you think it's an E, we'll make it a D.
Right.
Okay? This is good, because it'll get controversy. A lot of people love it, but
Our opinion,
and this is the debate, is because the 2600 one made us so angry that this one gets a bad grade. I'm going
to
make it a C.
No, I'm saying, Tarshan, I think it's an E. I think it's an E. You can make it a C if you want to. It still makes me mad to look at.
Okay. I just love the first level. So I'm going to make it a C.
It's neat.
So it's with Jawbreaker 2 and BC's Quest for Tires. Okay, for me, in this tier list, I know that I just love that
That's
first
fine.
Level so much. Okay, so the next one is Mouse Attack. And this is another, I guess it's another attempt at, it's a little bit like another attempt at Pac-Man. It's funny because it looks to me like they kind of took John Harris's Pac-Man game and made something else with the engine. I think it looks a lot like someone took the code, like, you know, found one of his discs when he left, if that was, no, it's 82, so it may be about the time that he was still there. Not sure the lineage.
So from what I'm seeing of the games, a lot of these games look like budget titles that we're in the UK we would have paid $2.99 for.
Probably some of these would have made budget titles. Here they were full price games because that's just how this, and you know, no one talks about that, how the full price games probably killed the industry too, as much as anything else, without having software that people could actually buy. But you're going around the maze, and if you click on a cat, the mice should run away from you. It's difficult, but it's got nice graphics. It's very much using that engine, except for it's when you, instead of collecting dots, you're connecting together the thing.
I love the pipe pipes. Connecting aspect to this. Yeah. I think that makes actually a fun game.
It's very challenging and it's kind of fun.
I'd put it up there on a B. That's my.
Ooh, I like that. I thought you wouldn't. I liked it too. Okay. I was getting ready to have a. To be Steve Blaster.
You get desperate for some games to actually have some sort of interesting play mechanic.
Okay, so the next one is Mr. Cool. This is the first game by Peter Oliphant. So this is a Q-Bert style game, but it's not, there's missiles that fly at you. It's like the most deadly Q-Bert game I've ever played. It's got some neat little Atari graphics to it. I don't know if it was Peter's first game or not, but it's a great like first game.
I think it's an interesting approach to
it is
to
it's a, an interesting approach to
a game like that. You know, it's not perfect. I think it's probably in the C layer. I would give it.
I think it's in the C area too. It's a good game. I would play it. I'm putting it. It's in the same spot as Marauder, Steve. Anyway.
I'd make it better than Marauder. I'd make it a B then.
Okay. We'll make it a B. There we go. The next game we're going to take a look at is Oil's Well, which is an Anteater clone.
I remember thinking that this game was great.
Let's take a look at it. You can only go one direction, and then you... If you touch any of these guys with the front of your thing, the front of your scooper, you get them. But you can only, once you're moving, you can't go back. You can only press the button thing to go back, all to be retracted back.
I love the idea of trying to like build your pipe down as far as you can go without things getting it. It's hard, but it's another interesting like game mechanic that's not like just,
but like. Oil's Well is like, okay, how do we take the Atari 8-bit sort of capabilities with graphics and sound and add it to Anteater? And so I think that I would make Oil's Well another B.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot of interesting game to it. I don't know what the rest of the community thinks of Oil's Well, but I like it. I think it's like, it's got all of those facets of an Atari 8-bit game. It's got very simple play mechanic, but they add all the czar jazz to it to make it an Atari 8-bit version. I really appreciate that about it. Okay, so the next game is Threshold, which is I think it's Astro Fighter.
Yeah, there's one of those. Astro Warrior, Astro Fighter.
Astro Warrior, I think it is. But it's an arcade.
And also it's Warrior. A little bit... Mega Mania kind of rips this off a little bit, too.
The name of the game is actually Astro Blaster.
Yeah.
Where you have to wait. You get overheated.
But I just for some reason I just love it. I love the different things you're shooting. I think that this is as I remember, this is one of my favorite games to play in the Atari 100. I would give
it's
it probably
one of my
an
favorites
A.
on the Apple II.
This is an A for me.
Yeah, it also is one of my favorites on the Apple II. When we played with at either Eric or Alex's house, so I'm gonna put it as an A level game too. And then we have one more final game. And the Threshold, I think this port was done by Peter.
Yeah,
Oliphant.
That's Peter Oliphant. The Wall War, the one you're about to play, is Peter Oliphant. Mr. Cool's Peter Oliphant as well.
Yeah. It's funny that we got almost all three of them at the end, except for Oil's Well was in.
Well,
in
that's what alphabetical order does.
You know, I meant that Peter made games that were in the end of the alphabet. Okay, Wall War takes the Antic and GTI modes for an early game to the max. As many colors as he could figure out how to put on the screen, which is pretty awesome. It's like a combination of Breakout and Outlaw, kind of.
Okay. There are your colors. Look at this.
I told you.
This is amazing.
Yeah, let me see. How do I... Okay, so...
And what the hell are you doing?
I don't know if I was playing yet. I didn't know if I was playing yet. I think maybe I was doing a demo. But you are... Like, I'm playing one player first, I think, and...
I just think this deserves an A just because it's so impressive. You can tell just how much work he put into it to make something interesting. I would give this an A as well.
With two people playing that game, it has to be good. So there we are with the tier list here, Steve. In S, we have John Harris's Frogger and his Jawbreaker. In A, we have We have Threshold and Wall War.
Right. By Peter
B,
Oliphant.
we have both by Peter Oliphant. B, we have Aquatron, the second version of Frogger, Mousk Attack, Mr. Cool, and Oil's Well. In C, we have BC's Quest for Tires, Crossfire, Jawbreaker 2, and Marauder. D, we have the Golf Game and Lunar
And
Leap.
then in E, we also have Marauder, but that's Steve's version.
Yeah, so we E is I think a Marauder is a C, and Steve thinks it's an E.
That's right. But it's kind of
I
fun.
may make just make two copies of it and put it in
Next
there.
week we'll have a really heavyweight debate about something.
Okay, well you pick
I
it
will.
because you're editing, and then the next week after that we'll do something else I
All
want.
right. Well, that's fun, Jeff.
But
Okay, so now we're
I
leaving
mean,
the overscan.
leaving the
And
overscan,
where are we
exactly,
going?
and back into the vertical
That's
blank.
right.
Into the vertical blank.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.